Hello and welcome back to The More You Know on radio.dominican.edu. I'm Pickles, and for the next about 15 minutes I'll be talking about the national news from this week. But first off, I'd like to say something a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle, just for a little fun fact for you. Many people believe that the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle is unsolved, but there is actually a scientific explanation for it. That is methane vents, which have been discovered in the region. Methane reduces the density of water, causing ships that would normally float to instead sink. Methane, when in gas form, messes with the electrical components of aircrafts, causing them to fall and sometimes fall right out of the sky. Methane also causes the water to turn a ghostly greenish color, and the ghost ships reported to be seen are simply green reflections of the ships that scatter the bottom of the triangle. Once again, this is The More You Know on radio.dominican.edu. A big concern in our nation is obesity. Seen in the news, everywhere you go, statistics is always about how fit our country is. For example, the show The Biggest Loser. On February 4th, season 15 of The Biggest Loser wrapped up. Rachel Fredrickson won the $250,000 prize by dropping a whopping 60% of her body weight. Some think that this is going too far, though, saying that Fredrickson looked anorexic and that it was scary. Fredrickson started the season at 260 pounds and finished at 105, dropping 155 pounds throughout the season. This makes her the only contestant on Biggest Loser to end the show underweight, according to the BMI scale. This severe change alarmed many, including the Biggest Loser trainer, Jillian Michaels. Michaels talked to the show, The Tennyson, this past week, saying, "It's a competitive reality show. It's very clear this went way too far. I think there are a lot of answers that everyone, including myself, are waiting on. I have a meeting with the show's producers to discuss my concerns." Despite the backlash from the media on Wednesday, Fredrickson told the Today Show that she was proud of her new body. "I think that it's ridiculous that for going on a show because she was seen by the public as overweight and unhappy, she went on the show and worked hard to make her life better. Because she's a little bit underweight now from all her work and the pressure to win $250,000, she's getting even more ridiculed. I say that we should just congratulate her on her win and on her new lifestyle and hope that she can maintain a healthy lifestyle and does not go any farther underweight." Going on with the obesity chain, obesity in children 2 to 5 years is down 2 to 5 years old is down by 43% since 2004. However, other rates of teenagers and adults is up by a small amount. Again, with children, involved parents raise slimmer adults, says Science Daily. "A major concern for parents has always been ensuring that their children get nutritious meals and learn healthy eating habits when they are young. While this is important, a recent study showed that it is only one of the factors of promoting a healthy adult lifestyle. This study began by recruiting participants from Reddit.com, the user-generated content news site, with notices posted on Reddit sections for dieting, weight loss, and parenting. Each participant offered what they believed to be the best predictor of what a child would weigh as an adult: home environment, psychosocial well-being, lifestyle, family history, and submitted the predictor in the form of a question. Besides supplying his or her weight, height, and age, participants answered questions generated by other participants about their own childhood, behaviors, and conditions. The researchers said their project was among the first to use crowdsourced information to identify new predictors that may, after further study, be useful in understanding and reducing obesity. In the paper, the researchers encouraged parents to create a nurturing and healthy home environment and lifestyle for children that includes meals made from scratch, healthy eating conversations, plenty of sleep, outdoor exercise, and supporting healthy friendship with peers. Says Kirsten E. Bevelander, another report author from the Netherlands Radboud University Behavioral Science Institute, "What's particularly amazing is how people have identified these childhood predictors of obesity that experts never thought about. Things like bullying, number of friends, and how often parents play outdoors with their children are significantly predictive of how much a child will weigh as an adult. Just to reiterate these facts, since it is so important, here are 12 things that might make your child a slim adult. If your child has good friends, gets enough sleep, drinks water more often than soda or juice, and isn't bullied. Food is not used as a reward or a punishment. You often prepare meals for your child, prepare meals from scratch for your child, talk to your child about nutrition, and play outdoors with your child. And your family history. You maintain a healthy body weight, and your parents maintained a healthy body weight. Obviously, some of these are outside of your control, such as bullying or how your parents maintained their body weight. But you can also help how your child reacts to bullying. If you know that your child is being bullied, or if you suspect they are, have a talk with them and help them understand what is going on. Since obesity is such a large problem in America right now, I think that this is a very important article for every parent to read. You can find it on Science Daily. It's under Involved Parents Raise Slimmer Adults. Next, can a simple handshake predict cancer survival rates? People often say that you can judge a person by their handshake. Research has now recognized the simple squeeze as an important diagnostic tool in assessing strength and quality of life among critical care patients. In a study published in the journal Support Care Cancer, Concordia Professor Robert Gilgore and his colleagues at the McGill Nutrition and Performance Laboratory confirmed a link between hand grip strength and survival rates. The test was simple. 203 patients fighting advanced stage cancers squeezed a device known as a dynamometer with their dominant hand. The instrument then measured peak grip strength. Because it requires minimal equipment, this method of evaluation is both portable and practical, says Kilgore. This measure is one of several to categorize patients according to the severity of their disease. It can help determine interventions they may need, whether clinical, nutritional, or functional. While other diagnostic tests rely on a patient's self-reporting or examine related factors such as decreased body weight, the hand grip test directly focuses on body strength. Its precision allows doctors to better assess a patient's decline. And then another fun fact for you. Dolly Parton thinks it is so important that every child has books to read that she started a foundation that will mail children a free, age-appropriate book every month from their birth to their fifth birthday. And finally, Texas ban on same-sex marriage was struck down by a federal judge. On Thursday. Texas became the latest state to have a federal judge strike down its same-sex marriage ban thanks to a sweeping decision holding that its current prohibition has no legitimate governmental purpose. The ruling by San Antonio-based Judge Orlando Garcia will not take effect immediately. Its enforcement has been stayed while the case works its way through the appeal process, meaning same-sex couples in Texas cannot get married for the time being. Still, gay rights supporters and activists believe the judgment because of what it says, how it follows with similar rulings in other states and where it happened, and one of the most conservative states in the country, has specific significance. Democratic Party Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa, called Wednesday a historic day for the LGBT community and for the state of Texas. And then, just to end off this section, in 2010, Bank of America wrongfully foreclosed a couple who sued and won a judgment for $2,500 in legal expenses. When BOA didn't pay the couple, the couple showed up at the bank with a moving company, a deputy, and a writ allowing them to start seizing furniture and cash. And now, here's Willie Nelson's Stella Blue. Thank you.
survive. They melt into a dream. Broken angel sings from a guitar. In the end, there's just a song. Comes crying up at night. All the road dreams vanish here. Stella Blue Stella Blue. Cards are down. There's nothing left to see. There's just the pavement left. Broken dreams. There's still that song. That comes crying like the wind. Down every lonely street. It's ever been. Stella Blue. Stay every blue light you open. Dust off those rusty streams just one more time. Gonna make them shine, make them shine. Comes for free. There's nothing that you can hold for very long. When you hear that song, that comes crying like the wind. Seems like all this life is just a dream. So
Welcome back to The More You Know. This is radio.dominican.edu, and I am your host, Pickles. And now we have DJ Liberty on with us for our closing segment.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you for being on. And to start off with, I was going to ask you how you like Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition.
The swimsuit edition. You got to know that every guy likes the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah, it seems like a fan favorite. Couldn't guess why.
I have no idea.
So the new edition hits stands Tuesday. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, there's big controversy over the cover of it, and that is that Barbie's on it. Which is...
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. Barbie burst onto the scene in a black and white swimsuit in 1959. She was then considered a rebel who embodied both the sensuality of Marilyn Monroe and the innocence of Debbie Reynolds. I only know who one of those people are.
Me too.
So that shows how long she's been around. It's funny to think of her as kind of a rebel, because it's Barbie. She's
the Barbie. Everybody loves Barbie. All the little girls have Barbies.
Yeah. I had my sister and I always played Barbies when I was little, and there was just not anything rebelistic about it in my mind. It says, Barbie caused a stir when Mattel and Sports Illustrated revealed last week that she would appear in the 50th anniversary edition of its annual swimsuit edition. The partnership includes a promotional cover wrap that will appear on 1,000 copies, declaring Barbie the doll that started it all. The official Barbie Twitter account tweeted about the campaign February 10th, saying hashtag unapologetic. This hashtag has brought up a lot of controversy because of how mothers and other activists against Barbie don't really like what she stands for, saying that she's unrealistic. There's been lots of dolls made that are said they're Barbie if she was a real human, which are much shorter torso, and
yeah there's always talk about how Barbie is so unrealistic, and there's so many people that try to be like Barbie, or you know, you see a girl walking around that is all, you know, white blonde hair and skinny and fashionable, and everybody just calls them Barbie. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't really see, I think people are thinking too much about this for how Barbie affects girls, young girls, because I played with Barbies when I was younger, and I never really thought, oh my gosh, I don't look like Barbie, whatever am I gonna do with my life?
Yeah, exactly. That's also a problem about it. Like, it promotes girls to be like, oh, I need to be like Barbie, I need to have white blonde hair, I need to be skinny, things like that.
Yeah, there's a blog called Mommyish, and there's a post on it this last week said, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue will feature Barbie, so your daughter can feel bad too. So,
oh my.
It underscored criticism of the partnership for using a children's toy to promote sexualized images intended for adults. It further complicates Barbie's legacy for parents unsure of whether to view her as a positive or negative role model. I personally say if you're going to go one way or the other, I'd say positive.
Yeah.
But it's not really that Barbie's just a role model at all. She's a doll.
Yeah, she's a doll. And I mean, it's so controversial. I wouldn't even call her a role model. She's just a doll.
Yeah, you don't see people talking about, say, Bratz dolls and saying, oh, my daughter's going to think she should have a giant head now.
Yeah.
It's not something that little girls think about unless somebody brings it up in this manner and says that they should.
Yeah, definitely.
So will you be buying a copy of this year's swimsuit edition with Barbie?
I mean, now I got to go check it out, definitely. This is an interesting way to put a doll on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. I mean
there's only about 1,000 copies, it said, the article on CNN.com says, so you might want to go out and get it while it's hot.
Jeez.
Yeah, it shows, the article in Sports Illustrated shows Barbie's career highlights and her many jobs, which you could say promotes young girls to go out and try to be an Olympian or a nurse or an astronaut or jazzercise, or any of the other one of Barbie's many careers. Now, Liberty, do you like Ben & Jerry's? Do you like ice cream?
I love ice cream. I love Ben & Jerry's.
Awesome, so do I. Now, here are some reasons why you should choose Ben & Jerry's if you're thinking about getting ice cream today. One reason is how it treats its employees. Ben & Jerry's employees can take home 3 pints of ice cream each day.
I know. We work at Ben & Jerry's.
Seriously. When Ben & Jerry's was founded, they followed a 5-to-1 salary ratio where the highest paid employee could only make 5 times the lowest salary. And just so you know, entry level for Ben & Jerry's workers makes $15.97 per hour. Yeah.
Ow.
That's crazy. At home, my minimum wage is $7.40, so that's just...
Yeah, so, I mean, the minimum wage here in California is, like, getting up to $10 an hour or whatever, but mm-hmm. still, that's...
Yeah, that's crazy. No matter where you live, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. A minimum wage at $15 is...
Insane.
Yeah.
It also makes sense. The Ben & Jerry's back home where I live is really competitive. The workers there to get a job there is really competitive, and I never really understood why, because I could always just go get another job somewhere else, so I never really tried. But now I'm definitely going to.
Yeah, definitely.
In 2013, Ben & Jerry's received the Compassion in World Farming's Good Dairy Award for its high-quality treatment of cows, which includes ensuring that they receive massages.
Interesting.
Also, Ben & Jerry's supports gay marriage. And all of the brownies that are used to make Ben & Jerry's chocolate fudge brownie and half-baked ice creams are baked at Greystone Bakery, a New York enterprise dedicated to providing jobs for the unemployed. So if you're thinking about getting ice cream today, make Ben & Jerry's your stop and help make the world a better place. All right, now going on with the same thing about unrealistic expectations for young girls, like we talked about with Barbie. Mm-hmm. There was a letter written to his daughter by Dr. Kelly Flanagan, who is a licensed clinical psychologist and happy father of 3. I'm going to read just a little section of this letter, as it's rather long, and I just want to see what you think of it. So the letter is talking about, he says he's in a Target aisle, makeup aisle, and he calls it the most oppressive place in the world. He said he's surrounded with words and phrases like affordably gorgeous, infallible, flawless finish, go nude, age-defying, instant age rewind, choose your dream, natural beauty. And he chose in his letter to redefine these words for his daughter. For example, infallible. May you be constantly infallibly aware that infallibility doesn't exist. It's an illusion created by people interested in your wallet. If you choose to seek perfection, may it be an infallible grace for yourself and for everyone around you. He also redefines age-defying. He says, your skin will wrinkle and your mouth will fade, but your soul is ageless. It will always know how to play and how to enjoy and how to revel in this one chance life. May you always defiantly resist the aging of your spirit. He goes on redefining other words such as flawless finish, naked, choose your dream, and brilliant strength, and finishes the letter saying, little one, you love everything pink and frilly, and I will surely understand if someday makeup is important to you. But I pray 3 words will remain more important to you, the last 3 words you say every night, when I ask the question, where are you the most beautiful? 3 words so bright no concealer can cover them. Where are you the most beautiful? On the inside. From my heart to yours, Daddy.
That's so cute.
I know. I love letters like these. They're popping up all over the place of dads writing letters to their young daughters. And I think it's a really good thing that parents could do for their daughters, no matter what your situation is.
Yeah, because there's definitely girls out there that see Barbie and, you know, they want to be like Barbie. And then there's, mm-hmm. you know, ads like that on makeup magazines and in makeup aisles that are talking about how to be flawless and beautiful and be naked but gorgeous and stuff like yeah. And there's girls, you know, especially young girls, like, they don't need to be like that. It's not always about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside.
Exactly. And so if you have a chance, this is on quickmeme.com. This is quickmeme.com. Go and read this. And if you have a daughter, read it to them, too, so they know where they're the most beautiful. Liberty, you have a girlfriend. Do you know if she feels pressured at all, or any of your friends, have you ever heard about them feeling pressured to fit in with the society?
I mean, I feel like everybody feels pressured to fit in.
As a guy, do you?
I definitely want to be, like, hip and fashionable. I mean, you know, I don't like to go shopping. I don't like to be out and see, like, you know, all those models and, like, all ripped and cut. It's like, you are who you are and you accept it. You dress who you are, you be who you are. I don't see the point in being somebody you're not. And that's, like you said, my girlfriend lives the same way. You know, she doesn't want to be anybody she's not. But she definitely, you know, she's true to herself. I'm true to myself, and everybody else should be as well.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I've come, you know, growing up, I've always been extremely tall for my age group.
Yeah.
So I always felt very uncomfortable with that. But now I love my body and I love who I am. So a part of it is just growing up. And I think reading things like that or telling your kids things like this dad wrote to his daughter are really important in helping that process of whether it's girl or guy, helping them fit in with who they am. For example, the ads say, you know, poor, like, flawless finish and things like that. And in their ads, the models literally have no pores. And they've been airbrushed so much. For example, Cindy yeah. Crawford once said, "I wish I looked like Cindy Crawford." So
that, I mean, that says it right there. Yeah. Like, the girls that are put on these magazines, it's not even real half the time. It's just so photoshopped. It's so fake.
Yeah.
You
know,
the last thing you want to be is fake.
No, yeah. And it's very obvious when somebody is not comfortable with themselves, no matter how good they look. If you don't feel comfortable with yourself, then it's not going to show. So make sure when you're looking in the mirror that the place you're most beautiful is on the inside.
Yes, definitely.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about your show for?
Yeah, sure. So I have a show, Political Row, here on radio.dominican.edu on Penguin Radio. It airs every Monday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I usually just talk a little bit about politics. I mean, everything's about politics, basically. But it gives you an insight of, you know, me as a college student and my ideas of what's going on in politics internationally, nationally, and in our great state of California. It's a fun show. It's, you know, it's politics, so sometimes it can be dry, but definitely interesting stories. And I'd love for you guys to come and join, listen in.
And then this past week, you were on with the visiting members of Congress, is that correct?
Yeah, I was on with the former Congressman Frank Riggs and Brian Baird, and they were here at Dominican for a Congress to campus visit. And we got to meet with them Tuesday and talk with them in some classes, and then Wednesday morning we were able to be on the radio with them and talk with them, and it was an unbelievable experience to be able to pick their brains and hear their stories, what they've done, who they've seen, who they know, the election process, everything like that. It's crazy how the media portrays Congress and politics and how it really is. You know, it's completely different. It's just so biased. The media influences a big deal in our country. And it was nice to see, you know, like, definitely they don't agree with something that Congress is doing. But it's nice to know that, you know, they still support everybody in Congress. And people need to know that even though there are, like, bad... No, I wouldn't say bad, just...
It's difficult to see in the media what's actually true, going on.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
So much saying, oh, Congress can't compromise, or yeah. Congress did this and that. It's such a huge body of people that it would be really hard to get things done fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's really, I'm very jealous that you got the opportunity to interview them.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they're really smart. They're really nice. I mean, everybody views congressmen as like the bad guys, and that's, you know, again, media just puts on the yeah. news, like all the guys that are bloating or, you know, mm-hmm. saying the wrong things at the wrong time. But it's interesting. There's so many congressmen that aren't on the air, that aren't in media, because they're the ones that are normal. They're the ones that are trying to get stuff done. And there's other congressmen that are just put on the media because they're the ones that are flamboyant and that cause a story and things like that.
Yeah. It's really interesting to seeing, you know, it's the same way with celebrities, like we were talking, everyone's just bigger than life personalities and things, and they seem so unshakable, and so it'd be really interesting to meet them like you got to and see them, you know, laugh at a joke.
Yeah.
So Now, I know you have to head off in a second, so I just wanted to end the show talking about a little bit about Dominican happenings this week and what's been going on. So, yeah, I think you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
The Dominican University Confessions page.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. It's...
First of all, for anybody who doesn't know, there's a Twitter page just called College Confessions, and it just anybody can really write to it and say that they're from a college, but it's basically like students write into this page, and it gets published on their Twitter page, and it talks about just the most awful college experiences, or funny. I mean, yeah, over 75% of them are funny, but for that person, it's got to be just awful.
Yeah. In fact, Dominican was on College Confessions this last week. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
I'm trying to find it right now to show you. But this past week on Facebook, I'm not sure if it was this past week, but it's become more of a thing this past week for sure. The Dominican University Confessions, which... I know that quite a few of them are fake, to be honest. But they're just funny.
Yeah, like kids at a school our size, you know, they see some kind of confessions page like this, and they're like, oh, yes, like, I'm just going to put everything I can onto this confessions page, you know? I'm sure even on the College Confessions page on Twitter, I'm sure, you know, over half of them are fake, but it's just fun to follow and fun to see.
Yeah. There's one that was posted earlier in the week that made me really, really curious, and I want to read it to you. It says, I got super drunk in my freshman year and pooped on my bathroom floor. When I woke up, it was gone. I still have no idea to this day what happened to it.
Wow.
I just want to know who that was and if they're still at Dominican.
That's awful.
Or if it's real.
Or if it's fake.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, thank you for being on the show. Let me just get one more second, see if I can find that confession for you from Dominican. Is there any ones that have stuck out to you that you thought were especially...
I mean, they're just so wrong. I shouldn't even say them on the air, but it's just...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's just awful to see the experiences that some people have, and then they take to Twitter to some kind of page to post it. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, I guess you choose what you want to do.
That's true. Yeah. It doesn't... Yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't even want to know which ones are fake. It just takes the fun away out of
really,
it.
Really. But well, yeah, if you're definitely curious, just go on Twitter and search College Confessions. It's a really funny page to follow. Or just to like check into every once in a while.
Yeah. Also, if you're on Twitter... check out @penguin_radio for our radio's web Twitter, and you can see what shows are on, when. And also, if you're listening to the show, just give a little shout out. Hey, listening to Penguin Radio right now. So thank you, DJ Liberty, for being on, and you're off to the Penguin Press Pass.
Yep, Penguin's Press Pass. Everybody listening at 12:30.
Awesome, and I will see you there. Thank you again for being on with us.
Awesome, thank you.
And this is radio.dominican.edu, and you've been listening to The More You Know with Pickles. And
me, DJ Liberty.
All right, have a great weekend.